Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday, October Sunday afternoon. I hope wherever you are, the sun is shining and it's nice and beautiful. And if it is, that means you're not in Atlanta, where it's a little chilly here with a little rain. We have a lot to talk about this Sunday. And if you are listening and you would like to join the conversation, give us a call. Call us at 646-668-8740. And we'll let you in, and you can become part of the panel. We're heard all around the world, so whatever you say will be listened by tons of people. I want to say hello to the panel. Hello, guys. How is everybody doing?
Good.
Good.
How's
everybody doing?
Well.
Good. Everybody's good.
Awesome. All right. One of the things that people tell me every once in a while is I never tell who's on the panel and where they're from, so let's start around the panel. As I call your name, just tell them where you are and a little bit about yourself and that we want to know. About 15, 20 seconds. So first online was Ron. Ron, why don't you start off?
Hey, good evening, everybody. My name is Ron. I'm in Miami, originally from Miami, born and raised. Love this place. Work in fundraising in the fundraising arena at Zoo Miami, and have been on the show ever since the first day, and really enjoy talking to all of you and being part of this panel.
All right, Michael. Hello, Michael.
Yes.
Okay, your turn.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know it was on me. I'm Michael. I'm in sunny Southern California, Los Angeles to be exact, South Central Los Angeles. I'm an award-winning filmmaker by trade. I'm also a proud political activist and a proud member of Black Lives Matter. And I'm also an atheist.
Oh, wow. All right, Jeremiah.
I am Jeremiah Green. I currently reside in Pembroke Pines, Florida, originally from Miami, born and raised. I am a business owner, and I enjoy coming onto the show on Sundays and discussing things with my guys. That's about it.
All right, Don.
Hello, everybody. My name is Don Wiggins. I'm CEO of the Wiggins Agency. Mobile media executive for the past 4 or 5 decades in the media. I'm in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where God lives. And I'm from the great state of Michigan.
All right. Bruce.
Well, my name is Bruce. I live in that great state of Michigan, Don, and it is not too bad weather right now. It's also God's country, as we all know. I'm a retired professional civil engineer by trade. Work with 5 volunteer groups throughout the Michigan area to give back. And I have very much enjoyed this show from the beginning and continue to see it go longer, I hope.
All right. There's a couple of other. We'll introduce you to them when they come on the line. But I guess, you know, there's so much going on in the political world and political arena. We don't like to always have that conversation. But unfortunately, that's what most people are wanting to hear about. But we just have another gentleman come on. Darius, what we were doing was introducing ourselves for the people who are listening. Just give us a little bit about where you are and a little, just about 30 seconds of your history.
I'm Darius Glasgow. I live in the Atlanta metro area.
I'm a conservative, been one since Ronald Reagan, and I'm an entrepreneur and a father of six.
Okay. All right. So, gentlemen, I think one of the things that I wanted to have a conversation with about everyone is something that's already passed, as I know there are other things in the news, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the debate. And I do know that one of the things that we've been listening to, at least I have heard on several occasions, is Bruce wants to do more debating with this show. In the show, he thinks the politicians should do more debating. So, Bruce, what is your opinion of the debate against the presidential candidates, Trump and Biden? What did you get from that?
What's my take on what they've done, or what I think in the way they debate?
Both.
All right. First of all, I think there this constant, the way we've conducted the presidential debates is not a debate at all. It's not. You could call it close
already
because they talk to each other, but they're not debates at all. And I wish we had real debates. And I'd be glad to define that later in the show. And this finger pointing and name calling and you did this, but I did that. That's not debating. And maybe let me finish with that. What I think is a short definition. You have an important subject or subjects. One side defends and states its position and defends it. The other side states its position and defends it. And then we, the public, in this case, the voting public or the audience, whatever the case may be, formulate who we think is right or wrong and why in our own minds. And what they're conducting on stage is nowhere close to a real debate.
Do you think there was a winner and loser for what went on? They called it a debate. Was there a winner and a loser? And if it was,
absolutely.
Who do you think was, who won and who lost?
I'm not so sure there was a winner, but I can sure tell you who the loser was. The American public.
In your opinion? The
American public was the loser. We did not get any formative information. They've stepped all over each other. We can debate on who stepped harder, when and where. It doesn't matter. They did not debate, and the public, the voting public that is hungry to get whatever real truth they can get to make a voting decision, were the biggest losers, because there was no real facts and figures in what you want to call their last debate.
All right. Ron, what are your thoughts on the debate? And if there was a winner or loser, who did you see it as?
Well, I can't disagree at all with Bruce. I think there was a total lack of substance. Although I do have to say, if I were to pick who had more substance than the other, I would say that Joe Biden tried as best he could to stick to his points, and he did get some across, climate change and some other things. I was particularly interested to hear what they had to say about climate change or what they did not say in the case of Trump about climate change. And for me, that was a real telling point. But it was an embarrassment. You're right, Bruce. I mean, we deserve better than that. I think I blame part of it on Chris Wallace, although he doesn't have total control. I mean, it's hard to control a situation like that. But there's been other debates that have gone much, much better than this. And I've heard people say this is the worst debate in American history. I don't know, past debates. I mean, going back decades, so I can't really say, but it was horrible. I can't tell you that much. And I had high expectations, and I was waiting for weeks, even months, for this debate. And when it was over, I was like, that was a total waste of my time.
All right. Okay, Michael, what are your thoughts on the debate?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I clearly think Joe Biden was the winner in that debate. And it's always funny to me when the Republicans lose the debate, their answer is always, well, there was no true winner there. There was no real winner. Yeah, there was a real winner. It was Biden. The right just doesn't want to admit that their guy lost the debate. That's all it is. Okay, he's the one that had no substance. Joe Biden tried his best to stick to the substance, to stick to the topic, to stick to the issues. Donald Trump does not know anything about any of the issues. Therefore, his strategy was just to talk over. So every time I hear people say this was the worst debate ever, it was for Donald Trump. Donald Trump made it the worst debate ever. Joe Biden showed up to debate, and he tried to debate. Trump had no intentions on debating whatsoever, and he lost.
All right. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on the debate? Jeremiah, are you there? All right. Darius, why don't you give us your thoughts on the debate?
I agree with Bruce and Ron. I mean, we learned very little from the debate, but it wasn't very informative. But what I will say is one thing that a lot of people are glossing over that Trump did get Biden to admit to is he admitted that he doesn't believe in the Green New Deal. He separated himself from Bernie Sanders. He said he's not supporting Bernie Sanders' manifesto of socialist policies. He's not for a single-payer health care plan, which was news to most people if they were listening. And so it looks like Joe Biden went in reverse. And, you know, I hear people say that, oh, he won the debate, but it looks like he reversed almost everything that the far left supports. So if that was what Trump's objective was, then he definitely accomplished that, because I know he didn't want to do that. Then they also overlooked the fact that he flat out lied, saying that his son, Hunter Biden, didn't receive any money from Moscow. He didn't receive any money from the Ukraine. He did not get money from China. These are all stories that have been reported by several outlets. And he just flat out lied, and the media just totally gave him a pass on that. On the other end, I think Chris Wallace really, really made Trump look bad on the issue of race. Trump missed the ball on that. That was a hanging curveball, and he could have knocked it out of the park. Now, he did say that he denounced it. He said, yeah, sure, but it just wasn't emphatic enough. And I think that was a major missed opportunity for him.
All right. Don, what are your thoughts?
Curveball. That was a fastball. Hey, listen. When a person opens their mouth and tell you who they are, believe them. Listen, I've been in setting up debates most of my career. And when you set up a debate, you have a preliminary debate. And you practice and you prepare as to what's going to happen during the debate. Donald Trump had a chance to prepare. Christie coached him. And he said after the debate, he was a little bit too hot. Yeah, he was real hot. He didn't allow his person that he was debating to finish a sentence. He was instructed to interrupt him, keep him on the defense, don't let him say anything. And then to say, stand down and stand ready. I mean, that's where the racial divide is, right there. In other words, just be ready when you get commandment or you get directions from the chief. That's a mafia move. Don't move until you hear what I have to say. Listen, This used to be the best country in the world. I mean, we used to be a beacon of hope, and now we're the laughing stock of the world. That was a force. I mean, that was ridiculous, and the world was watching. I'm embarrassed.
All right. All right. So now our president of the United States is at Walter Reed. I think he's walked out already, but he was contracted the COVID-19 virus. What is that going to do to the election? I've heard all kinds of comments from all kinds of news outlets about what we should be doing, but there are a lot who are saying that all this is a plight to put off the election. What are your thoughts there, Ron, on our election that's supposed to be coming up soon and the president having coronavirus?
Well, I've heard two different points of view. I've heard that it's going to help him, and I've heard that it's going to hurt him. So, I mean, it's anybody's guess. I personally think it's going to help him, and the reason I say that, even though Biden is up by a lot of points, I don't remember exactly how much now, but in most of the polls. But the reason I say that I think it's going to help Trump is. And this is unfortunate, but I think what's going to happen is, you know, now that he's left the hospital and he's going to be back at the White House and, you know, and of course I don't wish him anything bad or anything, but he's going to recover and he's going to say, you know, this was no big deal. And this is what I'm thinking. This is what I've heard other people say. I told you this was just like, you know, another flu. What I think is pathetic, really, is that the media reported. I'll take this with a grain of salt, but I believe it. The media reported that that Trump told his chief of staff while he was in the hospital to tell the American people to wash their hands and wear masks. Now he's telling us to wear masks. Why wasn't he saying that in February, March, April, May?
Yes. All right. Bruce, I'm sorry, what are your thoughts on the campaign and the president with coronavirus now?
Well, I hope and I pray and I think he will get some definitely support and sympathy points for what he's going through, because it directly connects with the 200,000 families that are going through it right now. So whether you like him or not, he's going to get a positive bounce from that. I also think it could go against him on how he handles it, as Ron said, once he's out of the hospital. It's not going to matter till he's back into the White House and doing things as if it was before he was down with the virus. So I think the negative part is going to be more from what happens and his follow through afterwards.
Okay. Darius, what are your thoughts?
I don't think it's going to sway anything, to be honest with you. I think the people who are going to support him are still going to support him, and the people who hate him are still going to hate him. I mean, I don't think this is going to change anything. Now, if it does change anything at all, I think the Democrats or the liberals who are trying to use this against him, they're probably going to sway some people that way, because I've heard some vile things. I've heard people saying, you know, like he deserves this for mocking, you know, everybody, and like he brought this on himself, and that he got it because now he'll take it seriously. I think the American people have a disdain for that type of behavior, and that's going to go toward Trump. It's going to make him look more human if they continue that. I mean, they're already talking about, oh, we need to delay the Supreme Court nomination, or maybe Trump shouldn't, you know, somebody even said in the New York Times that he probably shouldn't even be on the ballot because he's sick. So when you do that type of thing, you're gonna garner even he's gonna garner even more support. But if everybody can just kind of just relax and pray for the best for him, and that he will come home healthy, and like Bruce said, you know, how he handles that when he gets back is going to be a major determining factor.
All right, Don, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts is that he recovers and he lives and he's able to go through the defeat that he has coming and deal with the legal ramifications that he has to face. I think that if I could speak for the 200,000 people that have died from this disease, they would be quite, I don't even know what the word to say, along with their relatives that were hoodwinked, bamboozled, told untruths in January, February, and March, and told it was only a hoax, and told this will, it won't last, and actually died from this dreadful disease. It's going to be very difficult to come back from this. You have to look at the facts. The facts are that here's a person that's supposed to be the leader, tell me the truth, protect me, and you told me something totally different. Now you caught the disease, and I'm waiting to see what you're going to say now. But yet and still, there are thousands of people that have died that didn't have to die if they were told the truth. Put your mask on, wash your hands, social distancing. We got a serious problem, America. We need to deal with it. That's what a leader does.
All right, Michael, what are your thoughts on this president with the coronavirus and the election coming up?
Well, I'm of the belief, if you believe he has coronavirus, I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'm going to sell you. Because he does not have coronavirus, okay? When somebody cries wolf as much as he does, he's known to be a repulsive liar. Everybody knows he's lying all the time. So how can you believe that he has coronavirus? A lot of things just aren't adding up. And if he walked out of the hospital today like you're saying he did, that just, it just proves my point that he's faking the whole time. The reason he's faking is because he wants to stand in front of the cameras and say, look, I told you it wasn't that bad. I'm 74 and obese, and I beat it. It's not that bad. And he wants to add to that whole Teflon Don image he has that he's the tough guy and he can overcome anything. Now, I think as a voter, I'm looking at it as, okay, if you really have the coronavirus, you're the safest guy on the planet. I mean, you're the president of the United States. If you couldn't even combat this, then no one can combat this. If you got it, anybody can get it. That's how I would look at it, and I wouldn't vote for him because I would go, you couldn't even stop yourself from getting it. So you clearly can't stop me and the American people from getting it. That's how I would look at it.
All right. Jeremiah, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, what are your thoughts?
I think with his corona issue, I don't think it's going to weigh in different on anything really soon. It just really depends on what happens when he gets back. I don't know. I question it myself. A person of his age, you know, you're out of the hospital within a certain short period of time. You know, we don't know which is he like symptomatic or which stage of coronavirus that he got actually, but I think it's pretty quick to be out of the hospital at his age, and so we'll see. I didn't like the debate. Going back to the debate, I think that, man, it looked like two guys just arguing about who should have more power than the other person. It wasn't fun to watch. It wasn't easy to see. I just hope going forward somebody really bring this to these guys' attention, man.
All right.
But
all right. Someone was jumping in with a comment.
I have a rebuttal. I have a question for Donald, my brother Donald.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Are you there, Don?
Yes, I am. I'm listening to you real attentively.
Good, good. Because this, I do not agree with you at all, and I want you to tell me why you feel you do. You said earlier that the United States now is the laughingstock of the world, or something to that effect. One, not why you feel that way. Obviously, you do, or you wouldn't have said it. But what makes you feel that way? What proof, or what other than a feeling, makes you feel we are the laughingstock of the whole globe right now?
Okay, I want to explain that. I said we used to be a beacon of hope for people around the world. Your foreparents, Bruce, came to America to build their family. There are people that want to come to America that are not allowed to come now. And also, to say shithole countries, and then have a leader that has operated the past 3.5 years with no transparency in a country like ours, it's a laughingstock. They heard Donald Trump talk about this pandemic and give us something totally different than what is really happening. And now they're seeing him have the very same thing. Like my friend said in Los Angeles, it makes you wonder if he really had the disease or not. And then this is what gets me, is we used to be a country where people looked up to. We cut major relationships with partners across the world. It's just that things have not gone well the past 3.5 years. And if you open your eyes, Bruce, I love you, brother, but I don't want you to suffer from the symptom of denial. Denial. Don't even know I'm lying. And sometimes you can fall into that trap of being in denial. I think America is in denial right now with Donald Trump. And November 3rd through January 20th will be the most difficult time we've ever faced in America. Get ready.
All right, gentlemen. Let me jump in, because I want to ask this question, and it came up from one of our listeners who want to know what are we thinking about, when do we believe a vaccine is available to the world? So in my research, what I found was there's 170-plus vaccines being tested in animals and lab experiments right now. Of that, 10 vaccines are being tested in a small number of healthy young people to try to assess the health and correct dose of a vaccine. 14 more vaccines are broadened to a larger group of people, including people of higher risk and illness. And then 10 more vaccines are being tested in thousands of people to check the effectiveness and safety. So far, none of these vaccines have stood up as something that would cure or help the disease. When does this panel think possibly a vaccine will come about? A question from one of our listeners is, do we think that is something going to happen or not? Let me ask Ron, what are your thoughts?
I think I believe, I mean, I've heard lots of different timelines, as all of us have. I think I believe that a vaccine is going to be widely available, not until next year. I don't know when next year, hopefully early next year, because I would probably strongly consider, you know, getting the vaccine myself. I haven't really made up my mind yet, but, you know, I know that Trump has said before election, or, you know, others have said, you know, that's too soon. So I tend to believe what Dr. Fauci says, you know, and the head of the CDC, I think, is the one that said widely available in 2021. That's what I believe.
All right. Michael, what are your thoughts? Do you think the vaccine will be available sometime soon, or are we wasting our time, or what's going on with the vaccine? When do you think it'll come about?
No, I think it'll be here pretty soon. And to be honest, I think it'll probably be, if not shortly before the election, a little bit after the election. The election is not going to be decided on November the 3rd, of course. It's going to take them about a month. So I think in that little lame duck time is when they're going to come. Donald Trump's going to come with a vaccine to once again try to make it look like he's this hero and he found this vaccine. I saw the same study you saw where they have all these different vaccines out there. But I'm not interested in trying any of them. I'm not interested at all in trying any of them. I'm going to wait personally until the vaccine has ran its course and many people have tried it and it shows successful before I even try it myself personally, because I just don't trust anything coming out of this government. I just don't trust it.
All right. Don, what do you think?
I think that this vaccine will happen like the former compadres on this call, maybe next year sometime. They still got to do testing where people have to take placebos and see if it's really legitimate. And then there's going to be a population that's going to have to test and go through the process. And I think maybe fall of next year. But David, to be truthful with you, I'm not going to be one of the first guinea pigs.
Right. That's two. All right. Jeremiah, what about you? What are your thoughts on the vaccine?
I think we're going to make some nice gain on the vaccine this year. But by the time it's readily available for everyone and we have a for sure one or two vaccines per you know, age, or, you know, it's going to be, I think it's going to be something different from kids and teenagers to adults and elderly people. So I would say hopefully before spring of 2021.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts on the vaccine?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with most of the panel. I think it's going to happen probably before the end of this year, but it won't be available in mass access probably until maybe by the spring, early spring, before everyone will have access to it. But speaking of that, David, is it okay if I comment on something my brother Don said before about the greatness of America?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, this right here is another example of the greatness of America. We're leading the world right now on the vaccine and why we're not the laughing stock. So what we have to look at, Don, is we got to look at facts, like you said. You said we're in denial. But you can't deny that when Donald Trump came into office, there was total chaos in the Middle East. So you can't deny what was going on in Iran, with Iran arresting our naval sailors, flying overhead around naval ships, taking hostages. You can't deny that Iran was fighting a proxy war through Syria by dropping bombs. You can't deny that Al-Qaeda had a stronghold back then, or the caliphate. You can't deny the fact that our economy was leading the world, and leaders from all over the world came to President Trump to get advice on how to get their economies rolling like they did. Even during the crisis with Israel, us moving the embassy to Jerusalem. You can't deny that he brought a peace accord with the UAE. These are all things that were never accomplished before by any other president. So it's very hard for me to look at all that and say, oh, we're the laughing stock of the world. Even when you look at what happens with the virus, like you said, we're leading the world on the vaccine. But we also, Donald Trump he led the world on manufacturing ventilators and tests that he actually helped other countries all around the world with. So I don't see us being the laughingstock because I don't see, not to mention the death of al-Baghdadi and the death of Soleimani. So these are things that existed before Trump got there. The world is a much safer and a better place, whereas what was going on in the Middle East wasn't even a topic. Also to mention the trade agreements with China, the trade agreements with Mexico and Canada. This was all under Donald Trump. How are we the laughing stock of the world?
I want to piggyback on that real quick. Hey, Michael, give me one minute, and then, Michael, I think you're absolutely right, but give me 1 minute. I'm not saying that Donald Trump has not done some positive things. Yes, he has. However, every president has done some positive things, Darius. But I'm looking at what has been done right now. And you don't know if China does not have the vaccine. China has been working on the vaccine ever since they released it last year. So let's wait and see. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I want to actually, I'm going to agree with Darius. I know that's crazy, but Donald Trump has really done some good things. He has. Give him credit.
Yes.
What he just did in the Middle East is big. I give him credit for that. The peace he's making in the Middle East, he's made a lot of steps in the Middle East with peace going on right now. But the media doesn't cover that. No one covers that because he's such a buffoon that he always does something just outlandishly stupid. Then we start talking about the stupid things he did instead of focusing on the positive things he's done. Another thing, I'm going to give credit where it's due. He passed what's called the First Step Act, Donald Trump. I was in prison when that passed. I got released from prison early because of the First Step Act. So I can say I got released from prison because of Donald Trump. I'm a black man that can say that. But if he would have said things like this at the debate, if he would have pointed to the positive things he's done in the debate, he would have clearly beat Joe Biden. But that just shows how much of a buffoon he is. He's too stupid to even accept his own positives. He'd rather swim in the negative than to swim in his positive. Darius, hang on, Darius, I want to say this. I applaud you for saying he missed the ball when they were talking about race in the debate. He really missed the ball. He could have knocked it out the park by pointing out what he did with the First Step Act. But instead, he rolled with the Proud Boys. He told the Ku Klux Klan to stand down instead. So that's what I got to say about
that. And see, Michael, that goes into preparation. You got to have the right people around you to help you prepare for a debate. And the thing is, he has the wrong people around him. He does great things. He's a businessman. I'm not going to say he's a successful businessman, but he's a businessman. Because I'd like to pay $750 in taxes and get back millions, but he's a businessman. But the thing is, he needs to have the right people around him. Association makes assimilation, Bruce.
And Donald, Joe Biden has the right people around him?
We'll see. We'll find out.
That's right. Unfortunately, I hope you're wrong that we don't see. Because, like I said, I'm not saying that it's tit for tat, which is what Michael's probably going to hit me with. But you heard me say earlier, I'm worried that he is a puppet, that he is a facade behind which some very nasty things are going on that directly can change this country's democracy and its beautiful experiment for life, and I don't mean in minor ways, I mean in major ways, all because of the thirst for power. Power, and that's wrong. If I'm anywhere close to being right, that is wrong, big time.
Okay, but the difference is Donald Trump is not going to listen to the people around him. Biden will listen to the people around him, whether right or wrong. Trump's not listening to anybody but Donald Trump. That's the difference.
That's the difference.
Remember, Michael, when Donald came to office, he almost promised. He said, I'm going to make probably everybody upset because I'm going to change the way we do business in Washington, D.C. fundamentally. I'm going to tee off, I won't use the word, I'm going to tick off the Democrats and I'm going to tick off the Republicans. And along with all the good things that Darius said he's promised and done, that was another one of his promises. And that's coming true. He's his own man in a lot of ways. I think he listens to some, maybe not everyone, but then ultimately he has a vision and a drive of where it needs to go, and that's where he's going to take us.
Darius, you're absolutely right. He is a good president. But the thing is, his biggest mistake was not listening to the medical professionals during this pandemic. This has been the biggest episode or crises in 100 years, and you have medical professionals that know what they're doing, and you totally negate what they're saying and then bamboozle me when you're supposed to protect me. You know, I'm going to tell you something. When you end up being your own doctor, you have a fool for a patient.
I totally disagree with that, though, Don. Like, he did not lie to people, and he did not ignore the doctors. And we keep saying that over and over, and I guess if the media keeps saying that, then we're going to go with that. But that's not, in fact, what happened. Now, did he downplay it? Absolutely, he said he did. But guess what he did before there was even one
death? What's the difference in downplaying and lying?
I'm trying to explain it to you. I'm trying to explain it to
please.
You right now.
Please.
So before
please,
there was
please.
Even one death in America, before any other country did, he closed the borders. So that right there lets you know that he took it seriously. You can't say he didn't take it seriously when he shut down the borders from China. And then right after that, he shut down the borders to Europe. And all of these people who are saying that Donald Trump let something happen and didn't protect us, they were against it. Nancy Pelosi was against it. Joe Biden was against it. Chuck Schumer, against it. New York City Mayor de Blasio, he was against it. All of these people are saying that Trump, I gotta be honest. They're saying Trump didn't protect us, and that's not true. He did, and they were against him when he did it.
The problem, Darius, the problem is, yes, he may have been the first one to shut the borders to China, and nobody's going to deny that. The problem is that he wasn't telling us to wear masks when all the other countries – why do you think that we have one of the worst per capita death rates in the world? You know, if we would have worn masks from early on, back in even going back to March, imagine how many lives we could have saved. But people were going around, lots of people, thinking that this was, you know, first it was a hoax, and then, you know, the masks are not that important. They're not going to protect you. So that's where he messed up, in my opinion.
Okay, well, let's look at it like this. Then he only said what other people had said. You got to remember, Dr. Fauci in the beginning said
that, and went to heaven.
I'm sorry. Dr. Fauci said in the beginning that we didn't need to wear masks, that this wasn't going to be that serious. So did the Surgeon General. Said we didn't need to wear masks. So everybody's trying to act like Donald Trump was the only one out on a limb saying we don't need masks right now. They all said it. And then they changed course later. And some even went back and said, oh, we only said it because we didn't want there to be a rush on the PPE. Look, that's not what happened. And you have to also remember when this first started, the World Health Organization, the people who are in charge of making sure that we don't have these type of worldwide pandemics, said that this was not a communicable disease. the World Health Organization. But we're sitting here and acting like Trump ignored all this advice and went his own way, went at it alone, and that's not true. All the opinions of the medical community at that time were pointing in the opposite direction. They reversed course as they learned
more.
But then how do you explain
the fact, because it is a fact, and you can look it up, that we have, it's not the worst, but we have one of the worst death rates in the world if you compare apples to apples and compare per capita. What's the explanation
per capita,
for that?
Per capita, we're not. Per capita, there are at least seven other industrialized countries that lead us in deaths per capita. We're nowhere near.
Yeah, Brazil, Peru. I don't want to be compared to Brazil and Peru.
I'm only answering the question. You said deaths per capita for other countries. We're not leading the world like the news would have you believe that. There are like seven, eight other countries that lead us in deaths per capita.
Correct. But don't you think that with the advances that we have here and being the number one country in the world, as you say, that we should have the best, I mean, the lowest death rate in the world? I mean, to me, that would make sense.
It would, but then this is the other factor that you have to consider as well. You have to consider that we're a more diverse country than a lot of these other countries as well. We're one of the more traveled to countries than other countries in the world. So you gotta factor in those things as well. But even when you factor in all of that, and this is a question that I've asked everyone consistently, and no one can answer it for me. Someone please tell me what Donald Trump, like there's, this is amazing to me because there's never been a sickness that's been attached to an individual. A worldwide disease, Donald Trump is to blame for a worldwide disease. That's crazy to me. Tell me one thing that Joe Biden recommended or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or anybody recommended that could have been done to stop this virus from killing 200,000 people that wasn't done.
I can tell you right now. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm saying to you, and I want you to research what I'm saying to you because I don't want you to have denial. Do you know that President Barack Obama set up an organization to deal with pandemics and sickness that we're dealing with right now prior to Donald Trump coming into office? He had everything in place to deal with this situation and expound upon it. But Donald Trump was so hell-bent on destroying everything that Barack Obama did or said, he totally dismissed it. Do you know that?
No, what I do, I know what you're talking about, but that's not a fact. What happened was there was a team that Barack Obama put together, like you said, with virologists on it to look at worldwide epidemics after the Ebola thing happened, okay, or H1N1. You are correct about that. Now, what he did was in an effort to streamline the bureaucracy, he put that team under Homeland Security. People said that what he did was he didn't fire anybody. Everybody that Barack Obama put in place was still in place. What he did was he moved that organization under Homeland Security Division. And this story the team he put together.
He made the scientists janitors then, right?
He made them what?
Janitors.
No, he changed it and put it under Homeland Security instead of them having to streamline the bureaucracy. That's all that was. It wasn't. He didn't dismantle that team. He didn't dismantle that department. It never happened. All those people that he put in place are there now. Sandra Burke, Dr. Fauci, those people were there before Donald Trump got elected. They were already there.
All right, gentlemen.
Once again,
I'm just asking.
What did anybody propose that was different that could have stopped this? And I haven't heard Joe Biden. I haven't heard anybody, Nancy Pelosi, anybody say what they would have done differently. And I'm just asking, any other country in the world, what did they do differently?
All right, gentlemen, I think we beat this horse to death, whoever, however that goes, but because there's only a few minutes, about 10 minutes left in the show. And there's some other things that I wanted to bring up, and the fact that we're talking about the Department of Homeland Security. You know, sometimes politics gets into the news and doesn't allow the real word to come out about things that are going on. And something that recently has come up, we've had a whistleblower in the Department of Homeland Security that is saying ICE has been doing mass surgeries on a lot of the women in there, doing hysterectomies on women so they can't have more kids. And so now there's a big investigation. ICE is saying that, you know, that they need to investigate it, but it seems that women who are in custody by ICE, and they're from foreign countries. One of the ladies who was a whistleblower was from Jamaica. They handcuff them, take them through the operation, and make sure that they are unable to have children anymore. And this takes me back to World War II and Hitler and all the things that he was doing to people there. And so there's a big investigation going on right now, but I doubt if anybody has really heard about this, but this is something that I think, that puts us in a whole different light to the world comes out. So I can understand how come maybe it's not out like it should be, but it's something that is in the news and it's, you know, there. And I think it's something we as men need to be aware of so that we can support, you know, our female partners or people that are with us. But I wanted to get your opinion on what do you think about this? I mean, that puts us in a whole different light. ICE is, you know, that whole Department of Homeland Security needs to be looked at, but nobody's able to right now because there's so much other stuff going on. Bruce is not with us anymore, but Don, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I'm glad you called on me. I'll tell you what, David. David, I got some friends in Atlanta, and they were telling me about this woman. She's an immigrant, and ICE performed surgery on her, and she's right there in Atlanta. And they're using a lot of Caribbean immigrants to perform surgery on them to do that so they can, you know, commit genocide. They want to stop the advancement of people of color. They want to slow it down. And it's a fact that within the next couple of centuries or less, that people of color will dominate the United States. And I'm talking about people of color, including Latin and African American, will be dominant in America, and they want to slow the reproduction cycle. And ICE has no authority to do that. It's ridiculous.
Right. Bruce, you're still with us. Your other line went out, but what are your thoughts on this subject?
Yeah, I've been uncharacteristically quiet. It's amazing to me, gentlemen, that Don, even you, David, and a few others, but you two mostly only look at Trump with red glasses on, fire-breathing, angry lenses. Why is it if everything that you hear about him that's negative, it's got to be the truth. Run with it, take it, put it on the widescreen, everything. But anything that's good, which has been mentioned today by a number of people, countless things, dead silence, crickets. You got to pull it out of somebody from some other universe. That's really not possible. That's really not the truth. So I could agree with you if you said, let's get everything out there that our current president is doing, good and bad, and let the people decide what tips the score, what makes him terrible or what makes him worthy of another 4 years. We don't hear that. All we hear is negative 95% of the time if you talk to the major press organizations. That's what I wanted to get off my chest.
Bruce, I want to know why. Wait a minute, hold on. I want to know why every time somebody says something, you think they're talking about the president, because I didn't say that. I said the Department of Homeland Security, which is a whole, is the president of the United States. It's under them, but everything is under the president of the United States.
Well, it's in his charge,
Dave. I did not say that it has to be anything with Trump. I just said they're doing this women.
It's under his leadership.
And as men, the United States is under his leadership. So anything we say, negative, we're saying against Trump. I don't know why you're saying, because I'm not saying that.
It's under his responsibility right now, and you're getting angry at me because I said that.
I mean, what? Okay.
Nobody's getting angry. He's just correcting what you said about him, honestly.
Hey David, can I respond to that story, please? But I just want to make it clear. We need to say this, those are allegations. It's one doctor at one facility in Georgia. It's not a massive thing that's going on. And the doctor refutes it. And right now they have evidence that the lady, one of the initial claimants, were undergoing a psychiatric evaluation. So let's wait until this investigation is done before we go ahead and say that Department of Homeland Security and ICE is performing massive hysterectomies on immigrants. So
I didn't say nothing was established. I said there is this story out there that this is going on, and we as men must know that we need to support our female counterparts and this should come out. So I did not say that this was a negative that's going on and it's final and everything. I said this is a story we need to know about so that we can stay in companionship with our female counterparts. So I don't know why you guys
equated it to the Nazi Party and Hitler.
Pardon me? I said it does.
Hitler wasn't
Trump. I didn't say that.
No, I didn't know you didn't say it, but I'm saying it was an assumption. That's all, our presumption. So
there are a lot of assumptions that are being made right now. I mean, there's a lot of assumptions across the world,
and all of them are negative, David.
I just heard a person who said, "Let me agree with you, Bruce Michael." He didn't have to say that. He was being positive. So I think you guys always look at everything as, we are negative on this side of the world and everything is negative. That is why we can't get along. You guys need to change your thought process because we don't think like that. You do.
You know what it is? It's the divisiveness that's in the country today. We've never been under left, right. It's the left, it's the right. I've never heard that stuff 10 years ago. Left, right. We've never been under an administration that has been so divisive. America.
Oh, really?
By the
last administration.
No. Bruce, listen, you know for a fact you've never been under a situation where it's been so divided in America. You know that.
Okay.
So it wasn't Barack
agree,
Obama
but
that
okay.
said, it wasn't Barack Obama that says support your supporters and punish your enemies. Punish your political enemies.
I thought we were headed towards a healing. I thought Barack
Eric
Obama
Holder
was
said,
hope.
Eric Holder
hope
said, they
healing.
Bring a knife, we bring a gun. Kick them when they're down. Are you telling me that?
All right, gentlemen.
I'd
like to thank everyone who was listening today. We'll come back with this again next week. You can tell we are a very good panel.
Well,
we have lots of good conversations.
David, before you promise next week, do we have a show? It's Columbus Day next week.
So what?
Oh, boy. Oh, that's not an important holiday, but some others are. Okay. All right.
I didn't say that.
Thank you.
Hey, Brucey, I didn't say that.
We should have a show next week on Blog Talk Radio. We will talk to you again when we talk to you. But there will be a show next week. It might be a pre-recorded one, but there will be. So please listen.
You know, I'm glad there was a lot of fire at the end. I like that.
Hey, have a good week, gentlemen. Enjoy it.
You too. Everybody, have a good week. God bless.
Hey, dude.
God bless.
So.